我们一同打开雅各书第一章。
Let us turn to James chapter 1.
我们还是读第一节，一直到第四节。
Again, we will read from verses 1 to 4.
翻到了，我先念一遍，由大家一同开声再念一遍。雅各书第一章，我们要念第一节到第四节。
James 1:1 to 4。
做上帝和主耶稣基督仆人的雅各，请善助十二个支派之人的安。我的弟兄啊，你们若在百般试炼中，都要以为大喜乐，因为知道你们的信心经过试验，就生忍耐。但忍耐也当成功，使你们成全完备，毫无缺欠。我们一同来读。做上帝和主耶稣基督仆人的雅各，请善助十二个支派之人的安。我的弟兄们，你们落在百般试炼中，都要以为大喜乐，因为知道你们的信心经过试验，就生出忍耐。但忍耐也当成功，使你们成全完备，毫无欠缺。我们读经就到这个地方。我们上个礼拜已经在这里思想到，这是一本耶稣的弟弟雅各写给十二支派犹太人的书。
Last week we started by declaring that this is a book written by the brother of Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes.
这是全本圣经中的唯一指定是给十二支派的收信人雅各所写的书。
This is the only book in the entire Bible that is addressed to the 12 tribes.
那雅各是耶稣的弟弟。
James was the brother of Jesus Christ.
他本身也是一个不信耶稣的人。
In the beginning he did not believe.
所以他有绝对的资格写这一封信。
And so he is worthy to write this letter.
犹太人中间有许多的人承继了律法的精神，反对耶稣基督的福音。
Among the Jews there were many that had the spirit of the law and they were against the gospel of Jesus Christ.
所以他们认为他们是继续把摩西的就律法的精神传递下来的人。
They believed that they were the people that carried on the spirit of the law of Moses.
耶稣基督是一个反对摩西律法的一个人。
And they believed Jesus Christ was against Mosaic laws.
犹太人就对基督的福音格格不入。
Therefore, the Jews would not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ.
雅各是在耶稣基督家里的一个弟弟。
James was a brother in the household of Christ.
在前几年的考古学里面有一个新的发现，很明文的记载这件事实。
Archaeologists have found within the past few years an important artifact.
而他自己是纯粹的犹太人，又是曾经不信耶稣基督的人。
To show that James was once a Jew and a person that did not believe in Jesus Christ.
所以当雅各用这样的身份经过信仰的转变来写信给这些信耶稣的人的犹太人，他是很合格的。
And so James was worthy because he was once a non-believer, now he writes to these Jews.
犹太人是谁呢？
Who were the Jews?
犹太人是上帝特别拣选作为领受他活泼圣言律法的唯一的一个民族。
The Jews were the only race that God has chosen to receive his living word.
上帝说以色列人啊，我拣选你们不是因为你比别人更好。
God said to the Israelites that they were chosen not because they were better than other races.
不是因为你们比别人更大。
Or that they were larger than other races.
你们的众百姓中间原是最小的一个民族。
Among all nations, they were the smallest.
所以我因为爱你们，所以我拣选你们。
And they were chosen because God loved them.
这些话里面蕴藏的恩典是没有理由可以讲的。
The words imply that grace has no logic behind.
恩典不是条件可以领受的。
That grace is unconditional.
你的恩典根本是给不配的人发出去。
Because grace would have been given to those who are unworthy.
所以人不是因为行为可以换取上帝的救恩。
Our salvation does not come because of our works.
不是因为我们的条件足够有资格领受上帝的恩典。
Or that we are worthy to receive the grace of God.
或者我们的功劳使神受感动就把恩典赐给我们。
Or that the things we do move God to give us his grace.
恩典是违背行为跟这个条件功劳这些的人的想法的。
Grace is against what we always think about, the result of works and the things that we deserve.
我们到主的面前不是凭着立功之法领受恩典。
Therefore, when we come before the Lord, it is not because of the good works that we have done.
我们用信主之法到主的恩典面前来。
But we come before the grace of the throne of grace by faith.
上帝拣选以色列人，给他们有怎么样的特权呢？
What sort of privilege did the Israelites, the chosen one, have?
以色列人蒙上帝作为肉身的选民，有什么特别的地方呢？
And what's so special about the Israelites being the physically chosen?
罗马书第二章第一节告诉我们。
Romans chapter 2 verse 1 says,
第一就是上帝的圣言赐给了他们。
The first thing is that they received the holy word of God.
上帝的律法是透过犹太人传到人间的。
The laws of God was given to humanity through the Jews.
所以以色列民族蒙拣选就领受了上帝所赐的律法。
As the chosen people, they received the laws of God.
律法的本身并不是要人去遵行。
The laws were not meant for us to just be obedient.
因为神最知道人心，也知道最后犯罪以后的本性。人根本没有能力遵行律法。
God knew all about humanity and that we will not be able to be obedient because we have fallen.
而历史也证明从来没有一个人遵行律法。
And history certainly demonstrated that none will fulfill the law.
所以从这里我们可以下一个结论，上帝赐下律法不是要人去死死遵守。
Therefore, we can conclude that the laws were given not for us to follow word for word.
上帝赐下律法，也不是成为一个绊脚石来咒诅、来定罪人。
Nor was the law given as a stumbling stone to curse and judge us.
那么，上帝把律法赐给以色列人，真正的动机是什么呢？
What then is the true motive of the laws of God?
乃是要从律法的本身彰显赐下律法的上帝。本性是怎样的？
But that through the laws, the attributes of God will be manifested to man.
罗马书第七章告诉我们，借着律法，我们知道我们的上帝是圣洁的上帝。
Romans chapter 7 tells us that through the laws we know that our God is holy.
借着律法，我们知道我们的上帝是公义的上帝。
And through His laws we know that He is just.
借着律法，我们知道我们的上帝是良善的上帝。
Through His laws we know that He is good.
所以律法在这三方面。把上帝的道德本性把它提出来了。
In this three area, we see the ethical dimensions of God.
那么，对从是一个人认识律法以后，他就从律法也知道自己与神之间的距离了。
Because of the laws, we are able to know how far we are away from God.
当一个人知道上帝的圣洁的时候，他已经看见自己是违背上帝圣洁本性的污秽的罪人。
When we first understand the holiness of God, the first thing we realize is that we are filthy and unholy.
当我们认识上帝的公义的时候，我们就知道我们的社会是充满不公、不义、偏私的一个社会。
And when we understand how God is just, we will know that our society is indeed unjust.
当我们知道我们的上帝是良善的上帝，我们就清楚看出自己离开良善的目标多远。
And when we learn that our God is good, we know that we are far away from being good.
所以律法在消极的一方面，就给我们看见人的本性跟人的堕落。
Passively speaking, then the law would demonstrate to us how far and how decadent we are.
这个已经达到了律法全盘的目的吗？
Does this mean that the law has fulfilled its function?
不是的。
No.
律法又成了迅猛的师父。
The laws also become a teacher that inspires us.
一方面，我们透过律法，我们知道我们的罪。
On the one hand, we recognize our sin through His laws.
我们透过律法，我们闭口不能再为自己申辩。
And because of His law, we will keep quiet and not defend ourselves.
透过律法，我们一定甘心降服在上帝的审判的下面。
And through the law, we become willingly submit to God.
这还不够的。
But these are insufficient.
这没有解决人的罪性。在神的恩典之下，怎样可以被救赎的问题
？It does not solve the problem of salvation under the grace of God.
从这一方面来看，律法还是在消极的这一方面停止了。
From this anger, then the law would have been stopped in this passive anger.
律法正像一个把我们的罪状告出来，把我们的病况显明出来的医生一样的。
The laws would have been like a doctor that tells us what's wrong with us physically.
当一个人知道他的病况。知道他真正罪的本性的时候，他应当是一个没有盼望的人。
When a person recognizes his illness and his sinful nature, he is without hope.
所以如果没有进一步把消极的层次带到更积极的层次的话，那么呢，我们就是一个没有盼望的人。
If we do not have a process from a passive to an active role, we have no hope.
所以保罗在加拉太书告诉我们，律法成了迅猛的师父，把人引到 耶稣基督的面前来。
And the apostle Paul says to the Galatians that the law is like a teacher that leads us to Jesus Christ.
另外一方面的作用就是积极的，就是把人预备了，使人可以接受耶稣基督。
The dynamic role of the laws would have to prepare us that we will accept Jesus Christ.
正如今天你肺病很重，你差不多要死了，那医生用最新的科学、最高的技术、最先进的仪器，把你的病状照出来的时候。
It's as if you have a very serious lung disease and the doctor used the latest equipment to show you your problem.
你得到一个报告以后
and you receive a certificate.
你因为这个报告是最新的，你仪器是最先进的，你会骄傲起来吗？
But will you be arrogant because this is a result of the most advanced instruments?
然后你说的，你看，你们这些乡下人从来没有见过最新的医院，也没有看过最好的仪器，更没有知道什么叫做最新的 report， 我都有了，所以你们傻瓜就是傻瓜。
And then you boast about the latest and the greatest examination report you have against other people.
这是很可怕的事情。
And this is something very horrifying.
因为最先进的就把你的严重的病状照得最清楚。
But the most advanced instrument will show how seriously sick you are.
你不应当因为这是先进的 report 骄傲。要知道你的病状这么重而痛哭才对。
What you need to do is to really be in a state of despair because it tells you your problem.
所以当你知道自己快要死还骄傲，这个是最好的医生，你是有阿 Q 的精神。
When you think that you are being boastful, although the report said that you are about to die, you are pretty naive.
这个真正就是以色列文化在神面前的写照。
This is the true reflection of the Israelite culture before God.
上帝赐下律法给以色列人。
God has given the Israelites the laws.
以色列人看见自己原来离开上帝的标准这么远，应当痛苦，应当悔跪、悔罪，应当在神的面前悔改才对。
What they need to do is to repent because the law would have shown them how far they are from God.
但是他们因为这是神特别给他们的，他是唯一领受活泼圣言的民族，所以他们就高傲起来，轻看所有的外邦人，把他们当作狗一样的看待。
But on the contrary, they become arrogant because they receive the laws of God and they look down on all other races.
像犹太人，就因为他们有律法，变成更多罪恶的民族了。
And because of that, they become even more sinful.
这是宗教性堕落一个很清楚的一个表现。
This is a clear demonstration of how religion can become decadent.
当一个人认识上帝的律法，认识自己的罪恶，而没进到救赎的需要、谦卑的状态的中间的时候，那个宗教性的堕落就产生了可怕的傲慢。
And when a person does not understand the need for salvation, this decadence in religion becomes an arrogant factor.
所以这样的，凡是有宗教的人而没有明白救赎恩典的人，他们敢犯罪的程度就比无神论的人更厉害。
In this manner, a person who is religious but does not understand salvation would dare to sin more than the atheists.
今天最敢杀人的人就是那些有宗教的人。
Today, those people who dare to kill others are often those with great religious beliefs.
大胆犯罪的人就是那些宗教的领袖。
And often, religious leaders would dare to commit great sins.
因为他们已经在宗教性的堕落里面。
Because they are already in the fallen decadence of religion.
宗教的以色当着面具来遮盖自己的败坏。
And they cover their decadence with religious riches.
所以这种自以为义的宗教性就成为上帝眼中最憎恨的一件事情。
And this become what God hate most, the self-righteous religiosity.
这就是为什么耶稣在地上最责备的人的一群就是宗教的领袖。
This was why Jesus Christ would rebuke the religious leaders most.
这人会一面信神，一面做比无神论更大胆的那些犯法的行为。
On the one hand, they say they believe in God. On the other hand, they would commit greater sins than the atheists.
神在旧约里面就赐下第二种的执事。
And therefore, God in the Old Testament gave the second type of servants.
重新在纠正，重新在责备。这些有律法而不遵守，却以慈为面具，自高自傲，轻看别人的自义的人。
And that is against those people who are unrighteous, but at the same time hypocrites because they are religious leaders.
Justify themselves and look down others, they become most hated by God. 所以神特别憎恶这样的人。
And God especially have great wrath towards such people.
所以神就差遣先知。
And so God sent the prophets.
先知一方面指责你们是违背律法的。
On the one hand, the prophets will point out that you are against the law.
先知一方面对他们说，你们凭着律法的自傲之意，是神所憎恶、所厌烦的事情。
The prophets will point out how God is angry towards those who rely on religious and yet are sinners.
所以上帝借着以赛亚先知指出了以色列人宗教败坏。以及他们没有遵行律法的罪恶。
With the prophet Isaiah, God pointed out all the faults of the Israelites against God.
你们用嘴唇亲近我，你们的心远远离开我，你们拜我是枉然的。
And God said to the Israelites that you may praise me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me, so all that you have done is in vain.
你们初一十五献上祭物是我所厌烦的。
And I hate the sacrifice on the first and the 15th of each month.
我讨厌你们的安息日。
I hate your Sabbath.
你们献祭所有的自由像河一样的，在我面前是没有价值。
And all the fat may flow like oil, like a river of oil, but there is no value in me.
因为你们在宗教仪式里面献出何等的敬虔。
Your religious ritual may show you to be pious.
同时，你们欺负孤儿寡妇。
But at the same time, you are bullies against the widows and orphans.
你行不公义的事情。
And you do unjust things.
所以呢，这样的整个律法带来以色列的傲慢，又不遵行，使神为他们非常的痛苦，非常的仇恨。
And God hate all these things that have been brought about by the misunderstanding of the laws by the Israelites.
这样的先知就出来做责备的工作。
And the prophets arose to rebuke them.
但是受过律法教导而没有改变的人。
To rebuke those who have been taught by the law but not changed by the law.
以律法作为面具遮盖他们宗教背后的败坏。
And they use the laws as a mask to conceal the decadence in their religion.
神就用先知来撤开他们的面具，来责备他们的罪恶，来发动盼望他们悔改的一个运动。
And God would use the prophets to remove their masks to rebuke them. Hopefully, they will be revived and turn around.
但是这些人是不是因为先知的责备有所醒悟呢？
But would they turn around because of the rebuke by the prophets?
不是的。
Not so.
他们除了自己的自意、傲慢、轻看外族之外，他们在排斥先知。
Other than their self-righteousness and looking down on other race, they also persecuted the prophets.
所以以色列啊，你常杀害先知。
And so Israel, you often kill your prophets.
耶路撒冷啊，先知流血在你的城外是不可能的。
And Jerusalem, prophets will not spill their blood outside of your gates.
神所差遣的先知一个一个被杀，一个一个受害，然后他们死了以后，不久以色列人纪念他们讲的是对的，就来修饰他们的坟墓。
One after another, prophets from God died, and the Israelites will remember them later and make a nice grave for them.
这本圣经不单是一个宗教性的书。
The Bible is not only a book of religion.
这本书更是一个彻露敞开宗教的败坏是何等可恶的一本书。
The Bible is also a book that reveals all the decadence in religion.
如果我们把圣经里面的信仰跟信息的原则，把它宗教化，当作与世界其他的宗教等量齐观的话，我们是根本不明白上帝的心意，更是侮辱上帝的话语。
If we treat the Bible as one of a religious scripture, we do not understand the will of God, and we are insulting to God.
所有的宗教都可能把人造教成为伪君子。
All religions can train people to become hypocrites.
唯有上帝真理，像一面的镜子，把人的虚伪的面具完全拆下来。
Only the truth of God is like a mirror that reflects all our hypocrisy.
这样律法跟先知就构成了整个旧约里面最重要的信息。
And so the laws and the prophets become the most important message in the Old Testament.
律法告诉我们神何等尊严圣洁，人何等卑微犯罪。
The laws tell us how holy and honor and with honor God is, but how decadent we are as human beings.
先知告诉我们何等虚伪，我们有了神的话根本没有能力遵行，我们应当的悔改。
And the prophets point out how hypocritical we are, we cannot follow the laws of God.
犹太人束缚了，他们没有照着律法的要求去做，他们现在受责备的时候，是不是感激先知的提醒？
But will the Israelites be grateful to the prophets for pointing out their mistakes?
绝对不是的。
Absolutely not.
他们就杀害他。
They will kill them.
他们就逼迫他。
And persecute them.
他们就这些先知受害受难受死。
And create lots of suffering for all the prophets.
所以神最后赐下了最后一个先知。
In the end, God sent the last prophet.
也是最大的先知。
The greatest prophet.
从此以后，先知的时代就结束了。
And then the era of the prophets ended.
这个先知是谁呢？
Who was this prophet?
就是上帝的独生子耶稣基督。
The Son of God, Jesus Christ.
这个先知是先知万先知中的先知。
This is the prophet among all prophets.
万祭司的祭司。
The priest of all priests.
万王之王。
The kings of all kings.
所有的先知是预言他，而他是所有先知所预言的本体。
All the prophets would have prophesied about him, the one who is prophesied to come.
先知所预言到约翰为止。
And the prophecy ended at John.
表示呢 ，John the Baptist was the last one to prophesy about the coming of Jesus Christ.
是约翰是最后一个预言耶稣要来的先知。
所以预言到约翰停止了，预言什么？预言耶稣基督。
Prophecy has stopped at John the Baptist. The prophecy about Jesus coming.
耶稣基督是最大的先知，是最后的先知。
Jesus Christ was the greatest prophet and the last prophet.
而他们对这位基督呢，寄以最大最大的仇恨，所以把他钉在十字架上。
But they hated this prophet the most and crucified him.
这样整个旧约就结束了。
And the whole Old Testament ended.
旧约就结束在基督的死这件事情上。
And Old Testament ended at the death of Jesus Christ.
新约也开始在基督所流的血、所立的约的这件事情上。
And the New Testament is established on the blood and covenant of Jesus Christ.
基督的死是最后一个的死祭。
The death of Jesus becomes the last sacrifice of death.
基督的复活成了一切新的新约的活祭的开始。
The resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes the beginning of living sacrifice.
旧约以牛羊所以色列人借着牛羊的血所建立的约，有一天要结束。
The covenant established by the blood of the cattle by the Israelites will end.
以上帝永恒中间的选民，教会真正蒙救赎的儿女的立的约，以基督的血为记号的。
But the covenant of all the chosen, the truly saved, is marked by the blood of Jesus Christ.
新约就开始了。
And so begin the New Testament.
那么从旧约到新约的中间。
Between the Old and the New Testament,
我看以色列人就因此分成两派。
There were two groups of the Israelites.
一派是抗拒耶稣，把他钉在十字架上的这些选民。
One group was opposed to Jesus Christ and crucified him.
另外一派是特别的选民，是那些看出基督就是真正的新约、永约的那个中保，所以他们就转过来接受耶稣基督，承认他为主的这些选民。
The second group are chosen people who recognize Jesus as the intermediary between God and man, and they turn around and accept him as Lord and Savior.
以色列人为什么要这个抵挡基督，要钉死他呢？
Why would the Israelites be opposed to Christ and crucify him?
因为他们清楚知道，让基督存在就是等于宣布以色列文化的消灭。
They knew clearly that if Christ existed, the Israelite culture would end.
如果他们保留犹太文化。继续下去，一定要让基督消灭。
In order to continue the Israelite culture and traditions, they must kill Jesus Christ.
所以这两者之间，他们选了一个。
They have made one a choice.
所以他们就钉死耶稣，为保留犹太人的文化。
And they crucified Christ to preserve their own culture.
这个文化是宗教性的。
This culture is religiosity.
这个文化是仪式性的。
It is about riches.
这个文化是一个律法性的。
It is about the laws.
这个文化是一个献祭性的。
It is about sacrifice.
上帝就借着主后七十年玛撒的被完全剿灭之后，祭司的国度完全结束。
And 70 years after Christ, Masada was destroyed and the ritualistic system of the priest ended.
所以他们杀害了耶稣基督以后，能保留他们的文化吗？
So after killing Jesus Christ, did they preserve their culture?
现在的以色列人没有先知了。
The Israelites do not have any prophets today.
现在以色列人没有祭司了。
Or any priest today.
现在的以色列人没有君王了。
Or any king today.
他们的文化所保留下来的不过是律法书以及他们的拉比文化。
All that has been preserved is the laws of God and things that are written by the rabbis.
律法书就是摩西到现在存下来的文献，记录有关于礼仪跟行为的问题。
And what they have are documents of laws about rituals and traditions.
拉比文化就是他们的神学、他们的教义、他们对圣经的知识传授下来的整个制度而已。
And the writings of the rabbis are things they understood about their religion and their culture and their learning.
为什么犹太人中间已经没有祭司的制度呢？
Why are there no longer any priests among the Jews?
因为祭坛在主后七十年 已经被烧毁了。
The altar was destroyed 70 years after Jesus Christ.
为什么没有先知的制度呢？
What about the system of the prophets?
神已经不再差派人对他们说话了。
Because God no longer sent prophets to speak to them.
为什么没有君王的制度呢？
What about the system of the king?
大卫的宝座早就在被掳的时候结束了。
The throne of David was destroyed when the Israelites were captured.
新的时代，虚拟的宝座原不是大卫子孙的宝座。
And the system of King Herod was not from Davidic tradition.
君王的制度是最早就结束了的。
The first thing that disappeared was this system of kings.
希律王几代的统治，直到罗马帝国消灭以色列国，这都是伪政权的统治。
All the ruling of King Herod was not orthodox in itself.
所以他们根本不是照着正统的这个大卫子孙的这个历史传统跟神的应许来建立他们的宝座。
Their throne was not established based on the Davidic tradition of with God.
这就是为什么当耶稣在地上的时候，他们大声呼喊说：“大卫的子孙，大卫的子孙，奉主名来的。”是应当称颂的。
And that is why when Jesus Christ was on earth, they proclaimed the Son of David is with us, he is to be praised.
这也是为什么叙利王已经杀害两岁以下在这个伯利恒生下的所有的孩子。
And this was why King Herod would slaughter all the two babies that are 2 years and below in Bethlehem.
大卫的子孙跟非大卫子孙太细之间的一个不能共存的原因。
It was a conflict between the son of David and those who are not from the Davidic line.
以色列人就分散了。
And the Israelites were scattered.
分散在各地十二支派的人。
Those who are scattered on the among nations.
有一些照样抵挡基督。
Include those who still oppose Christ.
有一些是相信接受耶稣基督的人。
And also those who believe and accepted Jesus Christ.
那么请问雅各书是写给以色列十二支派中间哪一种人呢？
So the book of James, was it written, which group was it written to?
寄给那些抵挡耶稣的人，或者寄给那些接受耶稣基督的人。
Was it given to those who oppose Jesus Christ or to those who accept him?
你们回答，是抵挡耶稣的吗？或者是接受耶稣基督的？啊？两种人吗？
Is it for both?
他这里特别是写给那些接受耶稣基督的。
Here it is clear that he was written to those who accepted Christ.
因为他已经是相信基督的门徒。
James was an apostle that believed in Christ.
他知道以色列中间有一些相信耶稣基督的人。
And he knew that there are those like him among the tribes.
他们跟非接受主的人不同的地方在哪里？
The difference between them and those who reject Christ.
非接受主的人不是上帝的儿女。
Was found in the fact that those who rejected Christ are not children of God.
接受耶稣基督的人是上帝的儿女。
But those who accepted Christ are children of God.
所以当同样受苦的时候，
So in the midst of the same suffering,
不是神的儿女的人，
those who do not belong to God,
他们抵挡上帝，
would oppose God.
所以他们受苦是神给他们的管教，给他们的刑罚。
Their suffering would be a punishment from God.
但是信主的人，
But those who believe,
为真理而受苦的人，
those who suffer for the truth,
受苦不是刑罚，是试炼。
Their punishment would have been a trial, not a punishment.
所以这样整个信息的开头就提到试验的问题。
The beginning of this message tells us about trials.
这样说呢，这个收信的以色列十二支派分散的人是为主受苦的人，所以这些是信主受试验的人。
So clearly these are people who suffer for the Lord, they are those who believe in Him.
这本书信的内容就用试验做开始。
The contents of this book begins with trials.
我雅各，上帝跟耶稣基督的仆人，
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ,
写信给你们十二支派中间分散的人，
to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations,
我向你们问安，
greetings.
那么现在我的信的内容是什么呢？
And then what is the contents of the letter?
你们受试炼的时候，你们要以为大喜乐。
Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
这些跟随主的人，
These people who believe the Lord,
他们从以色列中间已经醒悟过来。
They have been awakened among the Israelites.
他们知道他们没有办法靠着律法行为好以至于称义。
They knew that they cannot be made righteous by their works alone.
他们也知道先知已经把他们的假冒伪善，他们的罪恶完全全盘的这个指责出来了。
They knew that the prophets had pointed out their hypocrisy.
他们也知道他们所真正盼望来拯救他们的弥赛亚就是大卫的子孙耶稣基督。
And they knew clearly that the Messiah that will save them is the Son of David, Jesus Christ.
所以他们从过去的民族主义下载的思想 自傲的心理中间回心转意归向了耶稣基督了。
And they turn around from their previous nationalistic and narrow viewpoint towards Jesus Christ.
现在雅各从前不信基督。
Like James who did not believe.
现在雅各已经信了。
But now he is a believer.
他的心态改变了。
His attitude was changed.
他的思想转变了。
His thoughts were changed.
他的人生的态度谦卑下来。
He had humility in his life.
谦卑到一个地步。
He was so humble.
他不是说我耶稣的弟弟写信给你们，你们认识我哥哥吗？
That he did not say I am the younger brother of Jesus Christ in his letter.
耶稣基督是我的主人。
But he said Christ is my master.
他说我作为上帝跟耶稣基督奴仆的雅各写信给你们。
So he wrote James a servant and slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
他有足够的资格对这些犹太人讲话。
He was worthy to speak to these Jews.
真的明白犹太人的心态，犹太人的传统，犹太人过去的傲慢，以及现在应当有的谦卑。
He truly understood the humility the Jews needed from the ages of arrogance.
而且他自己经过这个转变以后，
He himself has been transformed.
他从不信变成信。
From an unbeliever to a believer.
他从以为自己与耶稣是兄弟，变成自己认为是他的奴仆。
From thinking that he is a brother of Christ to becoming a slave of Christ.
用这种谦顺，这种真诚的心来写信给其他十二支派的弟兄。
And he wrote with such attitude of humility and sincerity.
当我们跟随主的时候，
When we follow the Lord,
我们的生活更好吗？
Do we become better in our lifestyle?
当我们信了耶稣以后，
After we believe in Jesus Christ,
我们蒙他特别赐福吗？
Did he give us extra blessings?
当我们承认他是我们的主的时候，
When we recognize him as Lord,
我们进入更丰盛的生活中间吗？
Do we have greater physical abundance?
没有。
No.
所以你看，这几十年的丰富神学、成功神学已经把基督教的思想扭转了，把神的旨意搞模糊了。
For the past few years, success theology has warped the whole message of God.
Theology of prosperity, theology of success, 这些已经欺骗了差不多一个世代的时间了。
All this theology has fooled almost a generation of Christians.
雅各书没有说你一信主你就发达，你就顺利，你就发财。
The book of James did not promise prosperity once we believe in Jesus Christ.
雅各说你跟随耶稣基督以后，你就丰盛，你就成功，你就顺利起来。
Or that you have success and everything will be smooth once you believe in Christ.
曾经有了信仰最大的转变。
He had the greatest transformation in faith.
这个转变没有带来世界的福气，而使他的生活更好起来。
But this transformation did not bring him material wealth or material abundance.
他现在跟随耶稣基督。
Now that he is a follower of Christ,
他的生活就在苦练的中间。
His lifestyle is in the midst of trials.
所以他要对这些十二支派的以色列人说。
And so he said to the 12 tribes,
你们信他吗？
Do you believe in him?
你们跟随他吗？
Are you following him?
你们忠于他的信仰？
Are you faithful to his teaching?
忠于他的真理？
Are you faithful to his truth?
你们现在生活在大试炼中间吗？
But is your life in the midst of great trials?
我现在把信息传给你们。
Now I give you this message.
我写信给你们第一句话是什么呢？
The first thing I say in my letter.
你们在试炼中间要以为大喜乐。
Consider great joy in the midst of your suffering.
把苦当作乐。
To consider suffering as joy.
把乐当作苦。
But to treat joy as suffering.
把失望当作享受。
To treat disappointment as an enjoyment.
这个是不是一种自我欺骗呢？
Is this self-deception?
从共产党无神论理论来说，
From a communist and atheistic theory,
宗教极富麻痹人民的功用。
Religion has the function to numb our thoughts.
所以呢，马克思说宗教是人民的鸦片。
And so Karl Marx said religion is the opiate of the people.
当他讲那些话的时候，刚好中国鸦片战争起时代。
When he said that there was the Opium War in China.
所以在中国人的观念中间，鸦片怎么麻醉人是一件大家都知道的事情。
The Chinese would have been quite familiar with how opium works.
但是宗教是人民的鸦片，这句话根本不是马克思自己想出来的。
But this idea of religion being the opiate of the people is not a product of Karl Marx's thoughts.
他根本没有那么富创造性的思想。
He was not that creative.
马克思是在大英博物馆里面看了英国一个基督徒的书里面引用他的话讲出来的。
He read this in the British Museum, a work done by a Christian.
在这个大英博物馆的图书馆里面有一本书是 Kingsley 所写的。
In the British Library, there is the book written by Kingsley.
他写的时候，请你们不要把主的崇拜当作麻醉自己的地方。
He said that in the, you should not treat Sunday worship as a place to like an opiate of the people.
英国的基督徒啊，你从拜一啊拜六一直犯罪，到了礼拜天再去麻醉一次，有什么用呢？
He was writing to the Christians in England, telling them that they ought not to go to church just to numb themselves.
如果你们没有悔改，
if there is no repentance,
就在礼拜天没听见好的信息来麻醉自己。
What is the point of listening to a good sermon to numb yourself?
你们永远没有醒过来，继续不断沉睡在犯罪的生活中。
And you will continue in your lifestyle of sin.
这句话给马克思变成一个很有受刺激、受启发的机会。
And this writing gave an opportunity of inspiration to Karl Marx.
他就把它归纳出来成了一句话：宗教是人民的鸦片。
And he summarized it and declared religion to be the opiate of the people.
如果这句话是对的话，
if this statement is indeed true,
为什么最多思想家、最多发明、最多发明专利、最多研究成果的地方，一定是基督教的地方呢？
Why would a Christian nation produce the most philosophers and inventors and inventions?
为什么呢？
Why?
这岂不是基督教不是鸦片，而是最启发人的心想思想产生创造性成果的一个动力吗？
Does that not mean that Christianity, instead of being an opium, is an inspiration to create further things?
而且在这些基督教的地区，允许你什么书都看，什么思想都接受，给你思想自由。
And these Christian regions will allow you complete freedom in whatever things you want to read and think about.
把基督教当作鸦片麻醉人民的这些共产的地区，是不准基督徒或者百姓什么书都看。
And on the contrary, all these communistic countries that thinks that religion is an opium will forbid the people from studying further.
这就显明了狗嘴不能出象牙。
This shows us the true reality of the content.
所以马克思不是那样创造性。
Karl Marx was not that creative.
他不引用了 Kingsley 的话，改装换面，讲了一句“人民鸦片就是宗教”的这句话。
All he did was paraphrase something written by Kingsley.
好，我们就回到今天的正题这里来。
Returning back to the theme.
所以犹太人
，the Jews，
十二支派的人
，the 12 tribes，
他们现在同样跟雅各有一样的命运。
They have the same fate as the Apostle James.
他们信主了以后，
after they believe in Christ,
他们整个观念转变过来以后，
after their concept was transformed,
他们没有过一个更好的生活，
they did not have a better life,
没有过一个更顺利的生活，
or a smoother journey,
没有过一个更猛富的物质丰盛的生活，
or a more blessed materialistic life.
所以他们在试炼，在逼迫，在痛苦的中间，
they were in the midst of trials and persecutions.
这告诉我们这一个呢丰富神秀在雅各书的第一个信息面前是站不住脚的。
This tells us that prosperity theology will not stand before the very first verse in James.
分散少支派的弟兄啊，
to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations,
你们现在在患难的中间，
now you are in trials,
你们现在在试炼的中间，
in the midst of persecutions,
你们应当把试炼当作是一个幸福，是一个喜乐。
You should consider suffering as a joy, as a blessing.
这是基督教吗？
Is this Christianity?
基督教是用这样的看法来颠倒是非吗？
Would Christianity turn things upside down this way?
基督教是在痛苦中间自我麻醉、自我欺骗吗？
Is Christianity a self-deceptive religion?
我告诉你，这里面一定隐藏着一个很大的秘诀，很深的得胜的动力在里面。
But I tell you that implicitly there must be a great secret and a profound motive here.
所以你在百般的试炼中间，
when you are in the midst of all kinds of suffering,
所以你会大喜乐，
you are to consider great joy.
这好像是你大病的时候你要常常笑一样的。
It's as if that when you are very sick, please smile often.
笑笑笑笑，那你就忘记你的病了。
And you will forget that you are ill.
这是故意欺骗自己或者神经有问题。
It doesn't mean that you are a bit crazy.
我年轻的时候看毛这个毛这个这个这个鲁迅所写的《阿 Q 正传》的时候，
When I was young, I read the book The Story of 阿 Q by 鲁迅。
他真的把一种很劣根性的民族个性的这个自我催眠、自我欺骗的态度刻画无疑了。
And the writer was able to express fully the self-deceptive the trait of the Chinese people.
阿 Q 算是很乐观的人。
阿 Q was a very optimistic person.
处处求胜，处处用好的思想来解围，来安慰自己。
Every time he has a problem, he has this self-consolation methods.
但好胜的心又很强。
But he was also quite wanting to win all the time.
当他坐在个教化纸旁边，看见了教化纸正在挤那臭虫的血，啪 一声的时候，他想为什么这么大声？我又不能找一个更大的才好。
When he sat beside a beggar and saw that the beggar was killing a flea, he wanted to make a larger sound.
不是flea，一个bedbug。
A bedbug。
这个bedbug把他的血抽了很多。
And the bedbug took a lot of the blood.
所以当他把人啪出声音的时候。
And so when the beggar killed the bedbug,
他心里想，我如果没有找到更大的输给他，就没有面子了。
And Akio thought he must find a larger bedbug to win this person.
找了半次，后来找了一粒更大的，比他大声。他很难为我胜了，我胜了。
In the end,
这个叫做阿 Q.
He was very happy when he actually found a larger bedbug and killed it.
这个阿 Q 根本不存在，因为中国人没有姓 Q 的嘛。
This person was fictitious.
所以这个鲁迅故意制造一个阿 Q， 根本没有这个字。表示中国本来不应当有这种人才，对的。
What Lu Xun was trying to do was to illustrate that we ought not to have such a character in China.
鲁迅的幽默是很高等的。
He was a person who was very humorous.
后来这个阿 Q 被人抓去断头台那里去的时候。
In the end, when this person was captured and about to be executed,
没有被斩头以前就拉着他示众游行。
Before the execution, he was dragged through the streets.
全乡村的人都排成两队在他旁边来看他要被杀的情形。
And a lot of people appeared to watch the execution.
他忽然想起这样荣耀，全村都在欢迎我。
And suddenly he thought it's very glorious because lots of people were there.
他要是一些孩子很有气派的从那些人群中经过，好像总统要进入凯旋门一样的。
And he was proceeding in a very grand manner.
你说你们这些基督徒就是这种阿 Q。
And people say Christians are like RQ.
所以在大逼迫中间要以为大喜咯。
You have to consider great joy when you face great trial.
孩子死光了，要开感恩礼拜。
After your children die, you have to have a service of thanksgiving.
地震大灾难以后要感谢主。
After great earthquake, you want to give thanks to God.
就是这种心理。
And people say you are like this.
是不是呢？
Is this a case?
我告诉你，绝对不一样。
Absolutely different.
因为当基督徒唱诗赞美上帝的时候
，When a Christian sing praises to God，
他们清楚知道黑夜以后白天会来到。
They know that the dawn will come after the darkness.
当阿 Q 自以为好笑、很威风的时候，他是什么都不知道的。
But when RQ thought of his life as grand, he was completely ignorant.
世界的历史告诉我们
，The history of the world tells us，
初期教会所受的逼迫。不是基督徒的受苦，是外邦羞辱基督的人他们自己的羞辱。
The persecution of the Christians in the early church is not the humiliation of the early Christian, but of the Gentiles.
当基督徒失败的时候，正是基督徒的得胜。
When the Christians seemingly fail, it is when they are actually victorious.
逼迫教会的人以为他成功的时候，正是表演他们自己的羞辱。
When those who persecute the church think that they have succeeded, they are actually being humiliated.
这是这两千年来几乎千古不变。的一个道理。
This has been a consistent situation throughout the 2,000 years.
逼迫基督教反对上帝仆人杀死神的儿女的那些政权，现在在哪里呢
？Where are these political system and power that persecuted the church and killed its children?
Trajanus 在哪里
？Where is the Trajanus?
Caligula 在哪里
？Or Caligula?
Vespasian 在哪里
？And Vespasian.
Domitian 在哪里
？And Domitian.
Diocletian 在哪里
？And Diocletian.
这些最凶猛。最强横、最残暴的罗马帝国的凯撒，一个一个已经入土，变成黄土一堆，变成白骨一堆，一共两堆。
All these Roman dictators that persecuted the Christians are all dead and buried.
受逼迫、受杀害、受流血的基督徒，他们现在永远在天上。组成最伟大的赞美上帝的军队。
And these Christians who have been martyred and killed, they are now forever in heaven in a great choir of praise.
照常用铁血的手腕逼害基督教的共产政权，有一天一定会消灭掉。
In the same manner, communism that persecuted Christianity will one day all disappear.
耶稣的教会是永远长存。
But the Church of Jesus Christ will stay forever.
所以基督徒的喜乐不是阿 Q。
The joy of a Christian is not an ignorant one.
基督的赞美是从内心里面看到永恒的得胜发出来。
And the praise of the Christian comes when we recognize the eternal victory.
雅各说：“你们落在百般的试炼中间，要以为大喜乐。”
And James said, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds."
这句鼓励的话太伟大了。
These are great words of encouragement.
为什么呢？因为你们的信仰不是突然的。
Because your faith is not in vain.
你们的信仰必须受试炼。
Your faith must go through trials.
试炼是个一定要有的过程。
And trials are necessary process.
试炼之后是更伟大的成就。
After the trial, there is greater accomplishment.
更坚固的信仰。
a more firm faith.
几千年前约伯就讲了这句话。
A few thousand years ago, Job said this.
我经过试炼之后，必成为金金。
After the trial, I will become pure gold.
Pure gold, I will be. Genuine gold, I will be. 我要变成金金这样的信，跟信试炼，跟成为金金一样的灵性是绝对不能分开的。
And therefore, trial and this faith like pure gold cannot be separated. Thanks be to God.
火是需要的吗？
Do we need fire?
请问有哪一个黄金的戒指是没有经过火炼的？
Which golden ring has never gone through fire?
请问哪一个发亮的宝石是没有经过铸磨的呢？
Which shining jewelry has not been tried?
请问哪一件漂亮的衣服是没有用剪刀剪过的呢？
Which beautiful garment has never been cut by a pair of scissors?
随着神训练我们的过程中间，
In this process of training by God,
痛苦、逼迫、眼泪，这是必须的过程。
Pain and suffering and tears are absolutely necessary.
当你真正看出这个过程的必须性，以及过程以后的成果，
When you understand the necessity of the process and the fruit after the process,
你就不会掉在痛苦的中间，成为一个失望的人。
You will not be stuck in the midst of the suffering and become disappointed.
相反的，你会看见神的应许中间有几件很宝贵的事情。
On the contrary, you will see important things in God's promises.
因为应许是从神真正诚实的动机发出来的。
The promise will come from God's true faithfulness.
所以上帝的应许总是阿们的，总是真实的，没有虚假的。
And therefore, the promises of God are all amen, are all true and not fake.
上帝的应许是根据上帝的永恒性的本质发出来的。
The promises of God comes from God's attribute of eternity.
上帝的应许不会半途而废的。
Therefore, His promises will not fall short halfway.
上帝的应许是根据他不变的本性产生出来的。
Because God's promises came from the fact that He is unchangeable.
应许不会一半就变成完全另外的本质出现了。
Therefore, His promises will not change in the middle of the progression.
神的诚信真实。
The faithfulness of God.
神的永恒不变。
The eternity and unchangeability of God.
神的永不改变。
The fact that He's immutable.
成为他与人应许的三大基础。
Becomes the three big foundation of His promises.
神的应许是超越时间。
God's promises transcend time.
在我们的时间磨练的过程以前，
Before this trial of time,
神就把应许赐下来。
God has given us His promises.
当我们受磨练的时间过程之后，
After this trial,
神的应许就成全了。
His promises will come forth.
我们被造在时空里面。
We have been made in time space.
我们被造在程序中间。
We have been created in the progression of time.
我们被应许的永恒的恩典里面。
But we are in the eternal grace of God.
就应当懂得怎样经历暂时的苦难，至今至亲至战的痛苦，我们要忍受下来。
So we need to learn how to withstand temporal trials and suffering.
但是呢，忍受是很痛苦的事情。
But this withstanding is very difficult.
时间对于正在忍受痛苦的人是很残忍的。
Time is very cruel to those who are in the midst of suffering.
所以当我们在这些很难忍很痛苦的时间过程中间，我们在苦难中间应当有怎样的心情呢？
So what sort of attitude should we have in the midst of all these difficult times?
我们应当有永恒的感受。
We need to have an eternal feeling.
有永恒的意象。
Have an eternal vision.
有未来的盼望。
The hope for the future.
有应许必须一定会被成全的把握。
That the confidence that God's promises must will come true.
这几个信念交织在一起的时候，
When we combine all these concepts,
你就会轻看痛苦。
You will look down on your suffering.
你会向逼迫夸胜。
You will boast of victory to persecutions.
你会向永恒发出你盼望的眼光。
And your eyes will be upon eternity.
然后你可以从其中神终极性的目的来看清现在所忍受的苦难。
And look down on the suffering based on the ultimate goal of God.
这就是为什么雅各这样讲的。
This was why James wrote this.
你们落在百般试炼中间。
When you face trials of many kinds,
都要以为大喜乐。
Consider it great and pure joy.
那么这个喜乐的这个秘诀在哪里呢？
Where then is this secret of joy?
我们这个喜乐真正的原因是什么呢？
What is the true reason for the joy?
你们知道。
Because you know,
基督徒不要单单过一个感性的生活，要过一个认知性的把握的生活。
Therefore, Christians should not just live an emotional life, but a life that is also with reason.
对真理的认知。
The understanding of the truth.
对神性的认知。
The understanding of the divinity of God.
对应许的可靠性的认知。
The understanding of the faithfulness of God's promises.
上帝永恒计划的终极目的的认知。
The understanding of the ultimate plan in the goal in the plan of God.
这些的 cognitive understanding.
All this cognitive understanding.
就是我们得胜苦难的秘诀。
Will become the secret for victory over suffering.
好几次圣经说。
The Bible says many times.
在苦难中间，你们知道。
You know in the midst of your suffering.
在试炼中间，你们知道。
You know in the midst of your trials.
在患难中间，你们知道。
In the midst of persecution, you know.
患难生忍耐。
That persecution will give perseverance.
忍耐生老练。
And patience will give us.
老练生盼望。
And then hope will come forth.
这个程序，因为你知道。
This process comes because you know.
苦难中间的认知。是很重要的灵性的一个基础。
It is very important to have knowledge in the midst of suffering.
这里照样再次告诉我们。
In the same manner, here we see.
你们若在百般的试炼中，都要以为大喜乐。
Consider it great joy in the midst of all trials.
因为知道。
Because you know.
你们的信心经过试炼。
That the testing of your faith
就生出忍耐来。
Develops a perseverance.
这里的忍耐可以翻译成坚忍出来。
Here, the perseverance means long suffering.
这个坚忍就是呢，已经在患难中间继续不到持定盼望的那种坚定信仰的忍耐的精神。
This is a form of tolerance in the midst of great suffering, holding on to the faith to the end.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
所以信主了以后
，After you believe in Jesus Christ,
你付了很大的代价。
You may have paid a great price.
观念的转变。
The concept will be transformed.
我个人认为，观念的转变是人性中间最难得的一件事情。
I think that is most treasurable that the concept will be changed.
这是大地震海啸以后。
After this great tsunami disaster,
很多孩子突然间爸爸死了，妈妈不见了，所有的兄弟亲戚都给水捡去。
Many children suddenly become orphans and siblings are scattered around.
那么他们没有人养，怎么办呢？
Then no one will take care of them.
有一些人就收养他们。
So some people adopted them.
有一些孩子给回教徒收养去。
Some children adopted by Muslims.
有一些孩子就给基督教徒收养去。
And some children adopted by Christians.
那么回教徒大发脾气的。
And the Muslims are unhappy about this.
你们这些基督徒来收养我们的孤儿，是不是要洗他们的毛，洗他们的脑，要把我们整个民族的宗教的根都拔掉呢？
They ask whether the Christians are adopting the orphans so that they can be converted.
其实这个时代不要怕人生气。
But in this generation, let us not be afraid of offending others.
有些人就很勇敢地把他收养过来。
And some people courageously will adopt these children.
这些人在原来的地区从来没有机会听见别的声音，只有听见他们的宗教骂基督教，他们的教士诬赖这个诽谤基督教历史的那些讲章。
In their original place, they have never had the opportunity to hear about Christianity except all the bad things.
所以我相信上帝用他的办法。
I do believe that God is using a unique method.
使他的选民可以从捆绑中间出来。
That His chosen one can be released from their bondage.
观念的改变是很困难的事。
The transformation of the concept is most difficult.
直到今天，犹太人的脱离对律法的依靠，对耶稣基督反抗那个观念，2000年没有几个人会达到这个事情。
Till today, very few Jews are able to transform the traditional Jewish concept against Christ.
12支派中间有少数的人，他们已经接受了耶稣，以信耶稣，又落在灾难中间。所以需要用这封信去兼顾他们。
There were few among the 12 that believed in Jesus Christ, but immediately they went into suffering, and so James wrote the letter.
你们在大患难中间
，in the midst of all kind of trials,
你们以为大喜乐
，consider pure joy.
你们有个新的观念
，you have a new concept.
你们神的应许不会落空
，the faithfulness of God will not fall short.
基督徒的信仰受试炼是必须的。
For a Christian, trials are necessary.
受过苦难能得胜的人是前途非常光明。
And if you have victory over your suffering, you have a bright future.
在这一段圣经后面
，After these verses,
试验、试炼、试探这些字就出现了。
You see all the words of trials appearing.
所以我们要把试探跟试炼做一个分辨。
We need to segregate between trials and temptation.
试探不是试炼。
Temptations are not trials.
试炼不是试探。
Trials are not temptations.
大家说一二三，试探不是试炼，试炼不是试探。在中文这一本书的翻译里面，有一次是翻得不大正确。
There is one Chinese translation that's not too accurate.
One time, not very accurate, 但是基本的观念是存在在那边的。
But the basic concept is there.
那么在这里第二节所讲的是什么呢？
Verse 2.
第三节所讲的是什么？
Verse 3.
是试验跟试炼。
Here there is the testing of the faith and trial.
你们在试炼中间，你们要喜乐，因为经过试验，你们就得到了忍耐。
The translation is that after the testing of the faith, you have a perseverance.
So in English translation, there's trial and testing. 是试验、试炼跟试验。
In the Chinese translation, it's almost similar.
所以这个中文的翻译跟英文的翻译，这两句话都差不多是一样的。
Both portray about the same thing.
那么现在我们讲试炼不是试探。
Now we talk about trials, not the same as temptation.
试探不是试炼。
Temptation, not trials.
所以我们用词要准确。
We need to have an accurate expression of.
选词要谨慎。
And be conscientious when we select our terms.
尽可能不要表错情、答错意。
And don't express the wrong thing.
更不要让别人会错我们的意义是什么。
And certainly so that others will understand the right thing.
西方最先提出这个重要性的人是苏格拉底。
Socrates was the first person that understood this.
他说你给一个事情下定义的时候。
He said when you give a definition to something.
尽量周全，尽量精准。
He said you ought to be precise and comprehensive.
你选词的时候。
When you pick words.
要尽量恰当，要尽量准确的意义。
Make sure that it has accurate reflection of what you mean.
你才能表达清楚。
Then the expression will be correct.
有许多人已经口齿不伶俐，讲话乱七八糟，再加上乱用词，就会引起天下大乱的误会。
Many people create lots of misunderstanding by choosing the wrong words.
所以现在我们把试炼跟试探分开来。
We need to segregate between trials and temptations.
试炼不是试探。
Trials is not temptation.
试探不是试炼。
Temptation is not the same as trials. 圣经
说上帝不试探人。
The Bible says God tempts no one.
上帝也不受试探。
He himself is not tempted.
所以这样就给我们第一个观念，试探不是从上帝来。
The first concept then is temptation does not come from God.
亚伯拉罕受试验的时候。
But when Abraham was tempted.
约伯受试验的时候。
When Job went through trial.
神许可他受苦。
God allowed him to suffer.
试试他讲什么话。
To test what he would say.
试试他到底怎么样反应对神给他的吩咐。
To watch his responses over God's commandments.
所以讲不试探人的上帝。竟然这个试验人的上帝。
So the God that does not tempt men gave us trials.
我们得到了第一个结论。
This is our first conclusion.
试探跟试炼来源是不一样的。
The sources of temptation and that of faith are different.
你不能主啊，为什么你试探我？你还没有讲清楚就先侮辱上帝。
You cannot say God, why did you tempt me? That's an insult to God.
你还没发问题就先误会上帝了。
It's a misunderstanding of God.
那上帝说这样，我为什么要回答你就好了。
God will not answer you.
上帝从来没有试探人。
God does not tempt men.
你不能问上帝为什么试探我。
So you cannot ask why did God tempt me.
你的观念不清楚，你的发问就显出你的愚昧出来。
When your concept is wrong, your ignorance is expressed in your questions.
上帝不试探人。
God would not tempt man.
上帝不受人试探。
He would not be tempted by men.
试探的源头一定不是上帝。
Therefore, the source of temptation cannot be from God.
上帝启示圣经的告诉我们，魔鬼是那试探人的。
The Bible tells us that Satan is the one that tempts men.
The one as a tempter of men.
The tempter of men.
所以他是试探人的。
He was the one that tempts men.
所以我们得到一个结论的。
So our conclusion is.
试炼跟试探不一样。
Trials and temptations are different.
试炼的来源不是试探的来源。
The source of a trial is different from the source of a temptation.
试探的来源也不是试炼的来源。
The source of a temptation is not that of a trial.
这样请问试炼哪里来的？
So where did trials come from?
试探又哪里来的？
Or what about temptation?
试探是从撒旦来的。
Temptations come from Satan.
试炼是从上帝来的。
Trials come from God.
大家说一二三，试探是从撒旦来的，试炼是从上帝来的，所以源头不同。
The different sources.
第二样。
Secondly.
试探跟试炼的分别在哪里？
The difference between trials and temptation.
分别的性质不同。
Comes when about its qualitative essence.
试探的性质是邪恶的。
The nature of temptation is evil.
而试炼的性质是良善。
But the nature of a trial is good.
而上帝试炼人的时候
，When God gives men trials,
存准他是良善者的本意，绝对没有邪恶的念头，来试炼人，来磨练人，为了人的好处。
He try us and he mold us based on the fact that he is good and faithful for our own good.
这个是从动机来看的。
From the angle of motive, then.
上帝是圣洁、公义、良善的上帝。
God is holy, just, and good.
所以神所做的任何事，动机一定是义者的动机、圣者的动机、良善的动机。
So everything that God does would be holy, just, and good.
而试探不是如此。
But this is not the case for temptation.
试探从哪里来的？
Where did temptation come from?
哪里来的？从撒旦来的。
From Satan.
因为试探是从撒旦来的。
Because it came from him.
撒旦是不是圣者啊？
Was he, is he a holy one?
不是，是脏者。
No, he is the filthy one.
撒旦是不是义者啊？
Is Satan the just one?
是不义者。
He is the unjust one.
撒旦是不是圣者、善者呢？
Is he the good one?
他不是，他是邪恶者。
No, he is the evil one.
圣经说他是抵挡者。
The Bible says the opposer.
他是那。
The evil one,
那是试探人的
the tempter,
所以他的动机是邪恶，他存心是不善的。
Therefore, his motive is evil and not good.
这从性质来看
，this is from the nature.
第三个不同的地方
，the third difference
是试探与试炼不同在哪里
？The difference between trial and temptation.
从目的的不同来看
，based on what they hope to achieve.
试炼的目的是要使人成为圣洁，得胜罪恶。进到更成长、更完全成熟的地步。
The purpose of a trial is that we may be made more holy into a more wholesome and completeness.
Is to sanctify us.
Is to sanctify
us. To accomplish us. To make us more perfect according to His eternal will. 所以，这样神在试炼人的时候
，When God tries men，
他是要我们胜过考验。
He wants us to be have victory over the trial，
要我们成长成熟。
That we will grow and become mature，
要我们无瑕无疵。
That we will be without any faults，
进到完全的地步。
To enter into His perfection，
当你把金矿燃烧的时候。
When you burn a mineral,
燃烧到一千多度以后
，and when they all reach 1,000 degrees,
这个金就开始融化了。
The gold all will start to melt.
融化就变成像一个金海一样的。
And it will look like a river of gold.
但是它的比重是很高的。
But because it's very dense,
金的重量是铜的差不多两倍。
Gold is twice as dense as bronze.
金的重量是比铁的重量两倍更多一点。
And slightly twice as dense as iron.
金的重量是水的重量的16倍
16 times as dense as water
所以这是贵重的金属不但很贵而且很重叫做贵重
So it's precious metal and very heavy
这黄金是很重很重的金属
Gold is a very heavy metal
金矿被烧融化变成金一体的时候
When you melt a gold ore
它的平面不是到最顶点的那个垂直线不是
The surface is not at the highest horizon line.
到了最旁边的时候，一定是圆起来，因为它很重，而且是有很特别的本性，使得内聚力特别强。
And the edge is not sharp, but the curve because it's very dense.
不但如此
，not only that.
当烧到很热很热，完全融化的时候
，when it's completely melted,
就一个现象出现了
，a phenomena will appear.
上面就变得一点都不亮了
，it doesn't look shiny on the surface at all.
因为里面的杂质就浮上来。
Because all the dross would surface.
为什么会浮上来呢
？Why would they surface?
因为他们都是比较轻的。
Because they are all much lighter.
轻的东西浮上来。
Naturally, they will float.
轻的容易正在流的时候。
And when the gold is molten gold is flowing,
差不多一层灰色的灰尘在上面。
You will see a layer of gray on top.
甚至还有许多许多的好像石头的沙在上面。
And look things that look like sand.
还有许多不是金色的东西也浮上来的。
Things that are not gold in nature.
所以炼金的人。
So those who try to melt gold,
把上面的东西先除掉了
will remove the dross from the surface.
再烧第二次
and then they will burn it again.
更细的东西再起来了
that those who are even more fine will float up.
再起来了，大概练了七次以后呢
after about seven times the process,
完全杂质除掉了
all the dross will have been disappeared.
黄金的表面光滑的不得了
and the gold will be very shiny.
像一面的镜子，你照的时候，你变成金人了。
and you can reflect your face.
所以这个就很清楚的反照了冶金的人的面貌， 他自己的形象。
It can reflect the person who has actually been working on it.
我告诉你，上帝这样磨练我们。
This is the way God tries us.
用火烧我们。
He will burn us with fire.
一次再一次的烧我们。
One time after another time.
除去杂质。
To get rid of the fuel and dross.
除去杂质。
To get rid of all the impurities.
除去那些虚浮的东西。
And things that will float away.
这是你纯洁以后的。
After you have been made pure.
你的表面反光出来就是上帝从你的身上看见他自己的形象。
That you may reflect the image of God in your very life.
但是他说成了。
And he will say, "It is done."
千万不要把上帝的试炼跟魔鬼的试探混为一谈。
Therefore, never mix the trial of God with the temptation of Satan.
虽然从现象、从经历而论
，although from an experiential anger,
当上帝试炼你的时候，可能你很痛苦。
When God gives you trials, you may suffer greatly.
正像魔鬼试探你的时候，也可能使你痛苦。
Just as when you are tempted by Satan,
当魔鬼要给你犯罪的试探的时候
，When Satan tempts you to sin,
他就让你享受意外的感官的快乐。
You may enjoy physical pleasure.
但是当魔鬼知道你是不容易得胜的坚强基督徒的时候
，But if Satan knows that you are a Christian that is very strong,
试探就夺去你感官的享受，给你很大的痛苦。
He may tempt you with great physical suffering instead.
让你咒诅上帝。
That you may curse God.
让你辱骂上帝。
That you may scold God.
让你毁谤上帝。
That you may blaspheme against God.
让你在外邦人中间羞辱上帝的名。
That you will disgrace God in front of the Gentiles. Because you are suffering.
这个层次来看。
From this anger.
上帝用苦难的试炼临到你。
When God's trial come upon you.
跟撒旦用痛苦来攻击你。
Or when Satan attack you with suffering and pain,
感受的经历是差不多一样。
The feelings would have been similar.
在这样的时刻中间
，In this moment,
你很容易堕落，变成一个抵挡神、毁谤神、辱骂上帝的基督徒。
It is easy for a Christian to fall into one who opposes God.
在这一个时刻里面
，At this moment,
你应当勒住你的舌头。
You need to keep quiet.
记得这句话
，And to remember this verse.
落在百般试炼中间的时候。
Whenever you face trials, consider it great joy. You say it's difficult.
If I believe that this is God's sign of love for me, let me go through this pain, your love is there,
you will scold God when in your concept you think that God should not allow this to happen to you.
God will not allow us to mix His trial and the devil's temptation.混为一谈
But God would not allow us to mix His trial with the temptation of Satan.
所以你应当明察秋毫
Therefore, you need to have a clear understanding.
善以鉴别
To be able to tell the difference.
那你才知道怎样过一个喜乐、靠着主而欢乐的生活
Then you will be able to live a joyous life with the strength of God.
因为试炼的结果是要成全你
The end goal of the trial is to make you a better person.
试炼的结果是要使你成长。
The end goal of a trial is for you to grow spiritually.
完满的成就上帝在你身上的。
That you may fulfill the will of God perfectly.
而试探的目的是要叫你跌倒，叫你抵挡上帝。
But the purpose of a temptation is that you may fall and oppose God.
所以试炼不是试探。
And therefore, trial is not temptation.
试探不是试炼。
Temptation is not trial.
我们应当在试炼中间以为是大喜乐。
In the midst of great trials, we should consider great joy.
荣耀归给上帝。
The glory may be given to God.
学习忍耐以后
After we learn perseverance,
我们成功之后
After we have succeeded,
我们就成全
We will become complete.
我们就完备
We will become mature.
我们毫无欠缺
Not lacking anything.
感谢上帝
Thanks be to God.
你信主吗？
Are you a believer?
你观念转变了吗?
Have your concept been changed?
你付了很大的代价变成基督徒了吗?
Have you become a Christian by paying a great price?
你现在应当顺利成功发财发大财对了吗?
Does that not mean that you should have prosperity from now onwards?
上帝说不。
God said no.
你虽然信我。
Although you believe in me.
你虽然观念转变过来。
Although your concept has been turned around.
虽然你保守你的信仰。
Although you have preserved your faith.
虽然你承认你的信仰。
Although you have acknowledged your faith
付了很多的代价跟随我
and paid a great price in following me,
我还要把你锻炼变成精金
I still want to try you that you may become pure gold.
忍受火炼的痛苦
You need to withstand the pain of trial.
忍受上帝许可加在你身上的患难
And withstand the trials that God has allowed to your life.
把这当作大喜乐。
And consider this great joy.
直到你成全的日子。
Until the day of completion.
愿上帝赐福我们每个人。
May the Lord bless us all.
我们大家站起来祷告。
Let us stand up together and pray.
我们一同。